glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. For Thursday, November 21st, 2024, I'm your host, Donna Leland, and today we talk with my friend, Russ Pierce of Reasons for Belief. Russ is going to walk us through some great evidences when it comes to God's Word and understanding that Scriptures can be trusted. Welcome, Russ, to Mark and Friends.
Today, Donna, I'm excited to share with your audience the proof that the Bible is true. I'm going to review the historical, archaeological, and scientific evidence that shows the biblical accuracy.
All right, let's launch in. You know, you're talking to an audience who has really bought in to the truth that God's Word is true, but sometimes we have a hard time expressing that to other people. So give us some of the proofs.
Sure, and thank you for this opportunity. Before we get started, I'd love to share three scriptures that talk about why it's so important that we know that the Bible is true. Obviously, the Bible is important, but there are some truths that I think that we need to start off with. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. So one of the reasons why it's so important that we understand that the Bible is true, because it comes from God. So if we don't feel the Bible is true, then we struggle with understanding, having confidence in God, because it's written, it comes from God. Also, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What that's telling us is to know the Bible is to know God, to know His nature. So not only does the Bible come from God, it helps us to know God, but also in Matthew 4:4, it says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's word is also necessary to live. So there's a lot of things to consider in understanding that the Bible is true. It really is critical to having a strong faith in God.
It really is. That's our basis. It's like God said it, I believe it. You know, just like Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Well, we can go back to this book and we can say, yep, He did say it.
And especially, Donna, in a world today where truth is relative, knowing that we know that the Bible is true and accurate is so important. So let me jump right in. The first facts, the historical proof of the Bible. How would you think that you would prove the Bible, you know, being thousands of years old, that historically true? Well, one of the best ways to do that is to find historians find writings around that time that verify what's written in the Bible. And we have that. We find that very easily. There are two very famous Roman historians. Suetonius was a Roman historian, non-Christian, born back in AD 69. And Tacitus, considered one of the greatest Roman historians. He was born in 56 AD. And both of them were Roman historians, non-Christian, and both of them in their writings confirmed not only the existence of Christ, the Christian message, they confirmed things like Christ being crucified by Pontius Pilate. They confirmed Christ, His message, and many of the events that happened in the Bible apart from the Bible. So that's historical proof from Roman historians that what's written in the Bible is true and accurate. And there's more than that, but those are two of some of the more popular evidences or the easiest to follow of the historical proof of the Bible. Now, next is the archaeological proof. Now, this is even more interesting, in my opinion. You know, finding artifacts, finding digs, and they find cylinders and all different kinds of archaeological items that show that the Bible is true. And some of these are really, really important. For instance, King David, up until 1993, there was no archaeological proof of the existence of the House of David. And there was even some author even wrote a book claiming that you couldn't verify the Bible because these people are missing. And it wasn't until 1993, which is fairly recent.
Yeah,
a gentleman named Abraham Byron in Teldan, Iraq, he uncovered some archaeological items that had written on them the House of David. It was proof of the existence of David. And just like it's written in the Bible when it says in 1 Kings 12:19 about the House of David, very strong archaeological evidence of the biblical accuracy.
You know, it's good that they use stone, you know, to put all their information on, because in this computer age, you can wipe your computer, but you don't wipe a big old piece of stone off with someone's names. It preserves.
Isn't that true?
Yeah,
that's very true. Another one, in 2009, Nazareth was actually verified archaeologically. The town of Nazareth, up until 2009, there was no proof of it. There wasn't any proof of a existence, a town in the first century that would have been at the same time as the biblical writing of Nazareth, until in 2009, an archaeologist, Giardini Alexandria, he found a building. They were digging, and they found it was only about 900 square feet, but it dated back to the first century, and it was archaeological proof that there was a town of Nazareth in the first century. And here, this was just in 2009, one of the more recent finds. The Pool of Siloam that it talks about in John 9:7, the Pool of Siloam, it wasn't actually discovered until 2007. Archaeologically, they were able to find the Pool of Siloam. There's so many more archaeological proofs of the Bible. And so biblical scholars feel that if there's something, and there are still a few things that have not been found yet, but it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, the Hittites. I always think of the Hittites. No one believed they existed, and they found evidence.
Yes, the Hittite nation was Joshua 11:3. It talks about the nation of the Hittites. And like you said, Donna, there was no evidence of the Hittites. And then Hugo Winkler in 1906, he found thousands of tablets that had written all about the Hittite nation, just like it says in the Bible. So yes, then there's so many others. There is the existence of Pontius Pilate, the existence of Hezekiah's tunnel, Sennacherib's siege on Judah, King Omri and his son, King Cyrus's policies of human rights. That was really interesting. See, that in the archaeologically, not only do they prove the people, places, events, but in this particular archaeological find in 1879, King Cyrus had a policy of human rights that he used, and it was written in the Bible in Ezra verses 1 through 11. And they actually found in this writing, the archaeological find, that it actually talked about not just the existence of King Cyrus, but it talked about his policy. I mean, it went into depth. So not just these archaeological finds, not just showing that the people exist, but also even into the depth on how they felt, and the details in the Bible are found accurate on these archaeological items. It's really neat. And the one that I find, Donna, being really science-based, I really like the science. The scientific proofs of the Bible, Donna, are, I think, some of the most amazing. It talks about in Job 26:7, it says that the God stretches the northern sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. Mm. Now think about this. This is written thousands of years ago, before they even had any idea that the solar system and the planets and the outer space and gravity, they had no idea of any of that. The Bible said the earth hangs on nothing. It wasn't until the 17th century that scientists actually figured out that the earth actually exists out, it's hanging on nothing, just like it says in Job 26:7. Another one that I find just truly amazing, in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now think about that for a minute. What was seen, what is made out of something that's not visible. Well, we know now, in the 19th century, the scientists discovered molecules and molecular structure and how everything is made out of something that can't be seen, just as it was written in Hebrews 11:3 thousands of years ago. They didn't discover that till the 19th century. One that's maybe a little bit more practical, in Psalm 8:8, it says that the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whosoever passes through the pass of the sea. It talks about pass in the sea. And actually, a scientist actually went out and was going to prove that. And this gentleman ended up finding out the currents. We know now that the current, there's all kinds of currents in the ocean that are continental cold currents and warm currents. But they didn't discover that, Donna, until the 19th century. But the Bible talked about it in Psalm 8:8 thousands of years ago.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Here, this one I think you'll find really neat. Job 38:22 says, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?"
Huh.
And you know what? It wasn't until the 16th century that we found out, when the discovery of the microscopes, what do we find out? Every snowflake is amazingly beautiful, and each one is so unique. They are just a treasure.
Yeah.
They're a treasure. But with this, microscopes weren't discovered till the 16th century, where they could actually verify that. But Job 38:22 writes about the treasures of the snow thousands of years ago. Another one talking about the sea. Job 38:16 says, "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea?" Well, they didn't find out till the 20th century that there are actually springs at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And it, just like it says in the Bible, I've got one for you that I think this one is just so amazing. You know, we talk about how it says, and I mentioned to you in the scripture, Matthew 4:4, that we don't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Well, here's an I think this is an excellent example of that. In Genesis 17:12, it says, "For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised." It tells people to circumcise their boys on the 8th day. Well, guess what? Modern medicine in the 20th century found out that in a baby boy, his ability to coagulate, the platelets in his blood, peak on the 8th day, and his immune system. Now, you imagine with the circumcision, you're cutting.
Yeah.
So you're creating blood, and you're also opening up a wound which could get infected.
Yeah.
Well, they found out medically that coagulation peaks on the 8th day, and the immune system on a baby peaks on the 8th day. Both of those peak on the 8th day, and the Bible tells us thousands of years ago to circumcise your babies on the 8th day. It, just like it says in Matthew 4:4, we need God's word to live.
Yeah.
And that's an example of it.
Wow.
I mean, the Bible is true scientifically on so many levels. When it comes to the space, when it comes to the ocean, when it comes medically. There's another one in Leviticus 13:46. It says, "When you have leprosy, he shall remain unclean. As long as he has the disease, he is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So in Leviticus 13:46, it's telling people who have a contagious disease to be quarantined. Well, they didn't know what quarantining was. Quarantining, from a medical standpoint, wasn't actually discovered until the 17th century, thousands of years later. But yet it was told to the people in thousands of years ago in the Bible, in Leviticus 13:46, that you need to be quarantined if you have a contagious disease,
wow.
Which, again, just amazing. Here's another one on space. Isaiah 40:22 says, "He who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain." So it's talking about God stretching out the heavens like a curtain. You know, if you were to read that, you'd think, huh, you know, what kind of proof is there? Well, guess what they found? Scientists have found in the 20th century with you heard of the Hubble Space Telescope that's out in the,
sure,
out in space. They can see things now out in space that they couldn't see before, because you're not looking through Earth's muddy, dirty atmosphere. You're out in space looking at things very, very clear at very, super high magnification. Well, what scientists have found is that galaxies, far away galaxies, are actually moving away. And the way they know that, Donna, is the light coming back has a red shade to it, which it's a very long explanation, but scientifically, if it has a red shade, it means it's moving away. So we have a scientific proof now that the galaxies are moving away. So what are they doing? They're stretching out like a curtain, just like it says in Isaiah 40:22. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
I just think, here, I got another one, Leviticus 15:13. It says, "And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water, and he shall be clean." Now think about that for a minute. You remember seeing some of those old shows on TV? What doctors used to do years ago, when with early stages of medicine, they used to wash their hands, but they used to wash it in a bowl.
Yeah.
You remember seeing that? Doctor
yeah.
would go wash his hands, and then he would go to the next patient. Well, what he was actually doing was contaminating that water and taking the infection from patient to patient, because the water was contaminated. There was actually a breakout in Europe where women were dying, and they couldn't figure out why. And the doctors were actually transferring these bacteria, these sicknesses, to the healthy women because of the water. What does the Bible tell us in Leviticus? Use running water instead of a bucket of water. It just, and the last one I'll leave you with, and there's many more, Donna, but I thought this one was so interesting. In Genesis 1:27, I think we all know this. So God created man in his own image. In his image, he created God. God created him, male and female, he created him, then blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." So we know the Bible says that the human race started with one man and one woman. Well, they have, you know, the genetics continues to evolve, and scientists are getting so sophisticated in their ability to break down the elements within a cell and really look deeply into all its components. And what they found in 1987, scientists have found a genetic evidence in the mitochondria, which is one of the components of a living cell, genetic evidence that all men all go back to a single, they all stemmed or came from a single man, and all women came from a single woman.
Wow.
Just like it says in Genesis 1:27. Is that not amazing?
That is amazing. And so science is catching up with the Bible.
Yes. People had thought for years that science and religion don't mix. And actually, the opposite is true. And it makes sense. God of the universe, the super intelligent being that God is, and super powerful, he made science. So not as science and religion don't, they're not incompatible. They go together. And what's so unique, I think, it's almost comical to me, Donna, as we feel as a human race, we get smarter and we, you know, we can do more. We got all this science. We actually find out God's already been there, done that, put it together. And we actually find out the smarter we think we get, the more we realize we're not smart.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to have humility to say that. And I
oh,
think
absolutely.
That's where a lot of times if people are in the science community, they just don't want to admit it. But it is so true. I guess if you're into chemistry, you can't help but admit that it's impossible for everything to stay together or want to come together if it wasn't for a supernatural being.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've got to do some more digging to find the references to this. I heard it on the radio. To me, Donna, it was so significant, and I'd like to share it with you. It seems like every few years, scientists are finding, they're digging deeper and deeper into atoms. You know, first it was cells, and then it was elements, and then it was atoms, and then it was electrons and protons and neutrons, and then they found quarks, and then they found, they just every time science gets more and more sophisticated, they find that every particle is made up of a smaller particle. Well, I was listening to this scientist. He said that they have discovered now a particle that they believe makes up every single thing in the universe is made out of this particle. And I'm listening because he says, but the interesting thing is that these particles are all the same charge. Which means, if you remember from your chemistry days,
it should blow apart.
Yes, opposite charges attract, similar charges repel. So what this scientist said, and I heard it on the radio, and I've got to find the references, but what this scientist said is something is holding every single thing in the universe together at its very smallest component.
And that goes back to where we started. He holds all things together by
his
powerful word.
Yes. And if there's no truer words could be said than that. One of the things that I wanted to relate, those are the truths that prove the truth of the Bible. Historical evidence, archaeological evidence, scientific evidence. And Donna, that's just a small amount of all that's out there. I did want people to know the surveys have found the number one reason for a lack of faith is not enough credible evidence. And I'm telling you, there is more evidence out there than you can imagine, but people just aren't hearing it. They're not getting it.
Yeah.
And we really need people to know, our friends, our neighbors, we need to let them know that it's not hopeless.
Mm-mm.
It's, and you know, the media makes everything gloom and doom.
Yes.
Everything's falling apart. And we have to know, yeah, it might be falling apart on the outside, but we are grounded on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. We have a hope in the future, just like it says in Jeremiah 29:11. And we know that we have a loving, powerful God that's got our back. And we, you know, with that, knowing that, we can get through anything.
That's so true. You know, outwardly we're wasting away, right? We see it every day with a few more aches and pains, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And that is my hope through this conversation, that our dear listeners will renew their confidence in the Word of God and that they will have a renewed hope because of that confidence.
Absolutely. And they can know that hope is grounded in evidence and in facts. We don't have to take it with a grain of salt, but we know there's solid evidence, historical, archaeological, scientific, that shows that God's word is 100% accurate.
Well, thank you so much, Russ, for spending time with us and just encouraging us with some of these really hard and fast evidences. Now, if anyone wanted to get a hold of you, how could they access your materials and your ministry?
We can be reached at reasonsforbelief.org. That's www.reasonsforbelief.org.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Russ, for being a part of Mark and Friends.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Donna.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Tune in tomorrow. It's Pastor Jason Schiffo and the team that meet on Wednesday. They record their Bible study, and we are the beneficiaries on Friday. Thanks again. I'm your friend, Donna Leland. Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends.